Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And let me read that verse to you. Exodus 20, verse 12, page 78. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, in every generation, the generation gap, some would say gulf, is obvious. I saw this sticker in the back of a car. It said this: avenge yourself, live long enough to be a nuisance to your children. Well, how about this father's comment about the time his son was returning home? I'm warning you, my lad, the night before last you came home yesterday, last night you came home today, tonight if you come home tomorrow, you're in big trouble. Now, the experience of parents and children ranges from the painful to the very joyful and fulfilled. For some people, it's been very tragic, their experience of family life. For others, it's been wonderful. It was Oscar Wilde who cynically said this: children begin by loving their parents. After a time, they judge them. Rarely, if ever, do they forgive them. But actually, other people have better memories, don't they, of parents and children's relationship. This is what Sarah Hogg, who I guess is probably one of the most influential people in Britain as far as women are concerned, said. She's head of a policy unit at Number 10 and married to Foreign Office Minister Douglas Hogg. And her father was the well-known Lord Boyd Carpenter, who was the former Chief Secretary of the Treasury. And writing the Times magazine, she said this about her upbringing, which was certainly very privileged. And she pointed out that it wasn't material privilege she rejoiced in, but this, I quote, "I had the only kind of privilege that counts, having loving parents throughout my childhood." Well, how about Anne Robinson, writing again in the Times magazine this last autumn? She says this: "Dr. Spock never cautioned that 3 decades on, the baby would come back to blame you for his or her bulimia, anorexia, addiction to drugs, alcoholism, poor sex life, bad marriage, lack of self-esteem, unresolved anger, or phobia about getting a job." But she continues, "Another friend tells me she's very tired of being told by her son and daughter that she is controlling, an irritating new age word used by adult children if they suspect a parent is about to give them the benefit of their wisdom." A variety of assessments of the relationship between children and parents. But I think I like what Susan Hill, who wrote the novel I'm the King of a Castle, I think won the Whitbread Award and the Somerset Maugham Award, said. She said this: "The minute you have children yourself, you forgive your own parents everything." And perhaps some of you would echo that. I can't as a bachelor yet. But in the realm of parents and children, there is very varied experience. But the Bible is clear about how parents should relate to children and children to their parents. And the pressure of a generation gap is no excuse to ignore God's word. So we come today to look at this commandment about honouring our parents. Let's ask a few questions of this passage. First, what is the obligation? Well, look at verse 12, will you? Honour your father and your mother. And that word honour has a sense of prize highly, give weight to, not in a physical sense, but in our attitude to them. That is, there's to be a proper respect for our parents, a proper attitude to our parents. Parents to have due weight in all our considerations. And would you notice it says here, honour your father and your mother. You see, they're to have equal honour. And so often, indeed, even in British society, think about the Victorian age, very often the fathers were honoured, but mothers weren't. And around the world today, in multiple societies, you'll find fathers are honoured in some respect, but mothers are sidelined. How very different is the Bible's message? Honour your father and your mother. Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey not because they're Christians in the Lord, but because you are." You see, it is laid upon Christian believers to be living like this. And it's so markedly different to the cults. Again and again, the cults which operate in London try and draw people away from their parents. The Bible tries to make sure that people honour their parents. And verse 1 of Ephesians 6 goes on and says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And the word right there is a Greek word which means just. If you like, it's a part of a natural law. It's axiomatic for society that children should honour their parents. And that actually is a challenge to us, because our society, don't we know it so well, there is a cult for the young and actually a denigration of the old, which is really rife today in our society. And how verse 12 corrects that: honour your father and your mother. That's a command for all of us for all time. It's a positive command. Not what we don't do, but what we do do. We honour, says Moses, our father and mother, speaking the words of God. And you look at the context of Exodus 19 to 21, and you'll see that all the Ten Commandments are for all people. There are no exception clauses in what's written. And the New Testament again and again reinforces this command. It is for all time. It does continue. I think it continues even when our parents have died. I sat with a friend a few weeks ago who's not a Christian believer, and both his parents have died. And in some ways, I don't think they're very good parents to him. And he was actually, in a way, he was speaking about various things as he's been sorting out his mother's affairs, was being quite denigrating about how they'd done things over the years. I think this command reminds us we should honour our parents even after our parents have died. What is the obligation? Well, this commandment faces us with this: honour your father and mother. That's the obligation. But secondly, what is the application? Perhaps there's somebody here who this lunchtime says, "John, I see this is right. I see that the commandment is patently to be obeyed. But how do I honour my parents in my rather sort of odd situation?" Well, of course, the opposite of giving honour to our parents, giving weight to them, is to despise them. And this here, as I said already, is a positive command. It means we'll do certain things as well as avoiding other things. And I believe it's a command we need to think through very prayerfully throughout our lives. There is, I have to confess, an innate Phariseeism in me. I very often want to try and do the minimum and to sort of hem down God's commands to sort of 20 little sort of sub-rules. But actually, this commandment isn't about doing the minimum. It's about actually taking face on its full implications. You see, it won't suffice to try and sidestep it. We need to think it through prayerfully. And I think it's hard for us to do this, not only because it costs us something in our daily living, in sacrifice, but also we need to come back to it again and again throughout our lives, because its application does vary at different stages in our lives. So how will we honour our parents? I think honour will show, A, in obeying. As Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Okay, we're legally obliged to obey our parents till we're 18, but for the Christian, obedience is going to be an ongoing priority. Think of Jesus, Luke 2 verse 51. We read this: "Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them." Or Colossians 3 verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." That said, though, life will vary our obligation. Think of that foundational text for family life, Genesis 2 verse 24, which speaks of a man leaving his father and mother, cleaving to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And just think of the countless couples who've walked down the aisle of this church over decades, and the girl has walked down on her father's arm, but she's actually walked out on her husband's arm. Because marriage does change a relationship. It does change the relationship of a child to parents. Just think also, though, of Matthew 10, verse 37. Because yes, in a human level, a new family unit is formed in marriage, but also in becoming a Christian believer, things can change markedly. The reading Giselda read to us, Matthew 10, verse 37, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now let me say, we will honour our parents until it directly conflicts with our loyalty to Jesus Christ. And I have to say that when we actually disobey them and go against what they would wish us to do, we'll only do it if we're Christian believers with tears in our eyes, because actually our loyalty to Christ is much more vital. But yes, obedience may have to change, but actually throughout our lives we will honour our parents. We show honour in obeying. Also, we show honour B in respecting. On one level, as children, our parents should be God's representatives. They should teach us about God and his commands. And I think it's appropriate to recognise the difference between parents and children. I got one family I know very well, and across the generations, the grandparents, the parents, and the children, actually the great-grandchildren, they all use Christian names with each other. I find that very odd, because I think we need to recognise the difference between parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren. They are over us. Listen to Proverbs 4, verse 1. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." And Proverbs 4, verse 13. "Hold instruction, do not let it go." Proverbs 15, verse 20. "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother." He's saying if we're Christian believers, we will be people who respect our parents' views and opinions. Think of Mark Twain, who said this, "When I was 14, my father was so stupid, I could hardly bear him. But when I was 21, I was amazed how much he'd learnt in 7 years." We'll show honour in obeying, in respecting. I think also in loving our parents. In 1 Kings 19, verse 20, Elisha says to Elijah, when he's called to be a prophet, "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I'll come with you." Now, Elisha was certainly no namby-pamby, and yet he was willing to show affection, love to his parents. And that incident reminds me that, being British as I am, but I am easily self-conscious about affection. I'm reluctant, certainly in public, for my mother to give me a kiss, and I get terribly sort of coy and embarrassed. But I think we need to be willing to be loving to our parents and let them be loving to us. And isn't it sad when you meet children who are ashamed of their parents, either because they've thrived economically when their parents haven't, or they've done very well intellectually when their parents haven't? You see, we'll be people who honour in obeying, in respecting, and in loving. But also, and of course this involves all the others if they're going to take place, in visiting. I think all the others are impossible unless we bother to visit our parents. So easy in a capital like this not to make time to see our parents. Indeed, Christian service can be an excuse for not doing that. But F, we'll show our honour in caring as well. Proverbs 23, verse 22. "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old." Or think about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, nailed to a Roman gibbet. And there he is as he dies. Some of his last words as he sees his mother at the foot of the cross. He sees his friend John the Apostle and says to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to John, "Here is your mother." You see, right at the end, he cared and thought about his mother in her old age. And I think as our parents get older and frailer, to honour will involve much costly, sympathetic care. Perhaps they'll need to live near us. Perhaps, indeed, they'll need to live with us. Honour your father and mother is a command we must all think through. And it will continually change how we need to honour our parents. But certainly, honour will have these components: obeying, respecting, loving, also indeed sharing. I missed that one out, but I think how very often we don't bother to share. Think of Judges 14, verse 6. Samson falls for a gorgeous Philistine girl, and on the way to arrange a wedding, he tears a lion apart. And at the feast, he makes up a riddle about the lion. And his wife wants to know what it means. And he says this, Judges 14, verse 6, "I've not told my father or my mother, and shall I tell you?" Let me ask you a personal question. How much do you tell your parents? Do you tell them, indeed, about your Christian life, your involvement in church? Do you tell them about what you're doing at work? Do you tell them if you're contemplating marriage, but you're thinking of sort of getting married to some gorgeous bloke or girl? Do you tell them about your joys and your anxieties? You see, we show honour in not just obeying and respecting and loving, but also in sharing, and of course, I mentioned already, in the visiting and the caring. But third, what is the result? What's the result? Well, certainly society and family life is ordered correctly, and it gives great blessing. You just think of a sort of agony in perhaps families, you know, perhaps your own family, perhaps work colleagues, where actually parents aren't honoured. It's very, very painful indeed. Now, the best results, the car, you follow the maker's instructions. So you don't put water where it says put oil, or oil where it says put water. No, you follow the maker's instructions if it's going to work properly. And Exodus 20, verse 12, is one of the maker's commands for all people. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you. You see, this commandment seems to have both an individual and a corporate dimension. Think of Ephesians 6, verse 2, says this, Paul speaking, Paul the Apostle, "Honour your father and your mother, which is the first commandment," says Paul, "with a promise." Are you aware that this commandment has with it a promise? If you obey God by honouring our parents, let me guarantee you, it may be hard at times, but you won't be the loser in the end. Indeed, Deuteronomy 5, verse 18, repeating this same commandment, has this little phrase in it, "Honour your father and mother, that it may go well with you." I wonder, do you want life to go well? Well, make sure you honour your father and mother. You'll have a corporate and an individual effect on you. As I conclude, let me say this. Perhaps there's somebody here, perhaps several people here today, who are very aware of your failure. Perhaps your parents have now died. Perhaps there's no way you can say sorry and actually begin to honour them. And perhaps other people feel very frail and weak as they think of how they've treated their parents. Well, the cross is wonderful news. Week by week, as we've looked at these commandments, we've felt our own sinfulness and failure. And actually, it's pushed us to the ground, hasn't it, in feeling our need for forgiveness. Listen to 1 John 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And what does that? Well, 1 John 1, verse 7. It's the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. So good news if you're aware of your failure and your sin in this area. Perhaps there's somebody else so here today, it's lunchtime, who your experience really has been terrible. Perhaps you were abused as a child. Perhaps you had an alcoholic parent who made life very miserable. Well, personally, we can find forgiveness in Christ. And I think we need to learn to forgive our parents in Christ's name. And he indeed is able to do that as we look to him for strength. And bit by bit, we can find our lives remade day by day. Forgiveness for ourselves and forgiveness perhaps towards a parent who hasn't been as they should have been in God's economy.